Theologian John Stott made this statement: everybody is ambitious to be or to do something. He says it often starts out when we're just little kids. Little boys have an ambition to be a professional athlete or an astronaut. Little girls want to be models or movie stars. And then when most of us get older and we realize that's not going to happen, our ambitions change, and they can be capsulized into about four areas, though. Most people want to be either rich or powerful or famous, or you might just say, I want to be successful in whatever I do. That about covers it all. Now, I've got to tell you that this aspect, this view of treasure hunting, is strictly unscriptural. It's secular, unspiritual. But Jesus says there's another way to look at it. Jesus says that the ambitions of a man's heart are two, one of two and two alone. Every one of us are seeking a treasure, and every one of us have an ambition. And that is either to lay up treasures for ourselves or to lay up treasures for God. And you know, of course Jesus is right, would you not say? We know He's right. Every one of us, me, you, the whole world, every single individual right now, this moment, is in the process of laying up treasures for yourself, or you're laying up treasures for God. That simple. Well, Jesus talks about this at length in the Sermon on the Mount. And He tells us how important it is that we do not spend our lifetime laying up the wrong treasures. And since we're all laying up treasures, it behooves us very greatly to understand what Jesus says about that. Would you not say amen to that? It does. So, let's look in the Word and find out. Jesus, what do you say about laying up treasures? Get your Bibles, please. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Stand with me in honor of God's Word. I'm going to begin reading Matthew chapter 6 at verse 19. Matthew 6, beginning in verse 19. Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp is the body of the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." May we pray. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Lord Jesus, let it not return void today. Do what You would please with it. We'll praise You for it. In Your precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Jesus tells us in this passage that we are not to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven on earth, but to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. And the first thing we see in this passage in regard to that is that this saying of Jesus is actually a command. The words in the Greek language are explicit. It is not an option. In fact, a proper translation of verse 19 would be this: I command you, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And beloved, let me tell you, when you do this, you'll have treasures waiting on you when you get there that you cannot fathom how great they are unless the Spirit of God shows you ahead of time. Paul wrote about this in Corinthians, and he said this: I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love Him. But I want you to notice that receiving great treasures when you get to heaven is not the motive that we are supposed to have for laying up those treasures. I want you to look back at verse 21 and see what our motive is. Look at the end of the verse: for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus says that we lay up treasures in heaven so that our hearts will also be there. Let me ask you something. Where does your heart need to be today? Does it need to be here on the earth, pursuing sins that will destroy you one day? Or should it be enraptured with the things of heaven, because in heaven the power is there to take away those sins and give you joy unspeakable and full of glory as you journey there? Where does your heart need to be? Where you will be destroyed eventually by your sin, or where God will bless you? Well, that is a no-brainer, is it not? We know where our hearts need to be. They need to be in heaven. They need to be pursuing the things of God. And God says, when you lay up treasures in heaven, here's what it's going to do. When you begin to lay up treasures there, it's going to draw your heart further and further up towards heaven where it needs to be. And you'll be getting closer and closer to all the blessings God has for you on this earth. David said, here's what David said, who was, by the way, a man after God's own heart: as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. Oh, listen, his heart was in heaven. And here's what he said also: be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. David had a heart panting for God and for the glory of God. And that's the reason, beloved, if you're saved, God left you here to pant for Him and glorify Him on this earth. But I want us to be honest for a minute. Old John Stott was right. Unlike David's heart, so many times our hearts, even Christians, we pant for things like fame, fortune, riches, success. That's what we're after many times. We chase them to our destruction. You see, the devil is not stupid. These things we're talking about, they look like Las Vegas and Hollywood and Disney World all rolled into one. But you see, what we don't see, we don't see the bait. We see the bait, but we don't see the hook that underlies. And when we seek the treasures of the world, we bite the hook, and it's too late many times to get off that hook that will send us to destruction. Proverbs 28:22 says this: a man with an evil eye hastens after riches and does not consider that poverty will come upon him. Can't see it on the front end, and it comes when he hastens after riches. Well, how does God say that we are to turn our hearts toward heaven? We lay up treasures at His command. We invest our time, we invest our energy, we invest our money. And when we do, our hearts are drawn to where our treasure is. That's how it works. We're drawn to what really matters. Some of you know who Ruth Owar is. Ruth Owar is a Kenyan lady, and about 4 or 5 years ago, she spoke in our church. She is a devout Christian, and she fled Kenya from an abusive husband and came to the United States. She lives in Montgomery. She lived in Montgomery, and while in the United States, she began a small business selling trinkets, selling jewelry, just small items. And every spare nickel she could afford, she sent it back to Kenya to an orphanage that she founded in Kenya. And it was run by her family members. And she had sent this money on over there. And you know what? The more money she sent over there to found that orphanage, to support it, the more her heart began to be drawn back to Kenya. And she began to pray, God, let me go back. Let me go back. And you know what? A few years ago, God answered her prayer. And she reconciled with her husband. And she's back in Kenya now, hands on with that ministry. She left the fundraising over here to my sister. But you see, she laid up treasures in Kenya, and those treasures drew her back to Kenya. And that's what God is saying. Listen, when you lay up treasures in heaven, that's going to draw your heart that way. And that's what He wants. He wants us to have hearts toward heaven and hearts toward His glory. But you see, if that happens, here's what's going to happen. There are two conditions that God works in our lives and brings them about to allow all this to happen. And the first condition is, we must have, if we're going to do all this, we've got to have the right mindset. We've got to have the right mindset to do it. Now, Jesus gives an illustration about that in verse 22. Look back in verse 22. Look what He says. The lamp is the body of the eye. That simply means our eyes lighten our paths. If your eyes are good, if you got good eyes, you can see where you're going and you won't stumble and fall. But if your eyes are bad, sometimes you won't see where you're going and you'll fall. How many of you have ever had this trauma in your life? In the middle of the night, your bladder suddenly wakes you up. And so you climb out of bed and you stumble toward the bathroom, eyes shut. You don't need to open your eyes because you've got that path memorized. You go two or three times every night of your life. And so you're blindly staggering to the bathroom. But tonight, in your stupor, you accidentally stump your little toe on the dresser. And all of a sudden, you're wide awake. And you're hopping on your good foot, grabbing your other foot, trying to massage that little toe, but you think it might still be lying on the floor. And you feel your whole body going into shock. So what's happened? You couldn't see and you stumbled and you like to kill yourself. Listen, friends, spiritually speaking, that's what happens when our mindset is not where it ought to be. We are traveling in the dark spiritually. We're not laying up treasures in heaven, but laying up treasures on the earth. And we will destroy ourselves unless we get our minds right. We will. Well, not only do we have to get our mindset right, God says, Jesus says, there's something else. And that is, we have to have the right master. We have to have the right master as well as the right mindset. Now, look what He says in verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one or love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, the word mammon means possessions. Possessions. Jesus said, you got to make a choice. You got to serve one or the other. They cannot have equal status. They can't even have primary and secondary status. You either have one master, one or the other, God or possessions. Now, imagine something, if you will. Imagine that you are living in colonial America and you are a slave. You're a slave. And you're on the slave block, ready to be sold. And there's two neighbors over here, and they are both not very wealthy, and they can't afford a slave, so they just said, we'll get together and buy a slave together, and we'll let him work for both of us. And that's what they do. And you are bought, and you have two masters, and they say, we can work this thing out. It'll work out. So you go home with them, but it doesn't work out. I mean, it's okay for a few days, but then every day you get up, both of those guys are saying, come work for me. And pretty soon, you're a schizophrenic, number one. And secondly, they're both beating the tar out of you because they say you're lazy. Friends, listen, it just don't work to have two masters. And God says it does not work to try to serve two masters, me and your possessions. It just will not work. I want to remind you about something if you are a saved individual. This is you. Listen closely. Paul says in Romans 6, "And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." Now I want you to hear what he's saying. The moment you came to Jesus, you were liberated from the slavery of sin. Did you see that slide when the choir was singing? The chords were broken. You were liberated. But you were not only liberated from sin, you became a slave of righteousness. You became a slave to Jesus. You see, now you're a new citizen in a new kingdom, and you have a new king, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But He not only is your king, He is your owner and your master, because He has bought you with His own blood, and you belong to Him. He is your master. You are His slave. And he says, as my slave, I command you to lift his treasures in heaven. Now, that's our command, but I want to point out something to you at this point. We either are slaves to our possessions or we're slaves to Jesus. But listen, beloved, when he says, you're my slave, that does not mean that being wealthy is a sin. It does not mean that. If you've got a lot of stuff, God's blessed you, it's not a sin to be wealthy. Look in the Bible. Abraham was wealthy. Job was wealthy. Solomon was wealthy. If you look around to the Christian community today, you see wealthy Christians. Listen, Truett Cathy, he's dead now, owner of Chick-fil-A, founder of Chick-fil-A. David Green, owner of Hobby Lobby, wealthy men. So you see, sometimes God chooses to bless present-day Christians with a lot of wealth. The question is, in regards to our possessions, the question is not, do I own many possessions? The question is, do my possessions own me? That's the question. Now, I can tell you for Truett Cathy and for David Green, the answer is no. My possessions don't own me. They own their possessions, and they give much of it away, because they know that every bit of it came from God, and He's the owner. They're just the stewards. You see, here's our attitude. God, you can use your wealth any way you choose to. It's yours. I'm just the comptroller. And that's our attitude. I'm just the steward. I'm just the one who doles it out, Lord, as you tell me. There's an old commentator named Harry Ironside, and here's what he said. He who is in touch with eternal realities can well afford to hold earthly possessions with a loose hand. Those who lay up heavenly treasures by spending and being spent for God, when life is ended here, will find endless treasure in heaven for them. You know what he's saying? You can have a loose hand, when you understand what it really means to lay up treasures in heaven. Because you know it's all God's. When God says it's time to give it to somebody else, you'll do it. John Wesley was the founder of Methodism. He was a godly man. John Wesley was a fairly wealthy man. He wrote many sermons. He had other writings. He sold these things. He made a good bit of money in his lifetime. He lived to be close to 90 years old. When John Wesley died, they tell us that he had a total wealth of 28 English pounds. If you translate that to dollars, $38. Now, that was in 1791 when he died. And so we know that inflation has occurred since then. But I got to crunching some numbers yesterday trying to figure out what was the inflation from 1791 to 2017. As best I can figure, about 700%. So that means if Wesley would have died today, as famous as he was, and as many books as he sold, he would have left his family $266. Just gave it away for the glory of God. Beloved, This is the conclusion of the whole matter. Just like at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon said this is the conclusion of the whole matter. This is the conclusion of the whole matter about this treasure thing. Paul did not say that having money was evil. He said the love of money is the root of all evil. And he also says this, they who love money have strayed from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Many who love money have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But David, Solomon said, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and there's no sorrow to it. Now, which would you like to have, many sorrows or no sorrow? Let me tell you, you commit your funds to God, whatever He says, Lord, I'll do, you'll have no sorrow, the Bible says. A heart enslaved to possessions will eventually reap sorrows. A heart that is enslaved to Jesus will reap joy. We've talked a little bit about Joash's chest. I want to read to you what they did when Joash commanded, you guys need to give for the repair of the temple. Here's what Israel did. 1 Chronicles 24. Listen. Then all the leaders and all the people rejoiced, brought their contributions, and put them into the chest until all had given. Now there's a couple of things about that. First of all, all gave. Every one of Israel gave. Now, some gave a lot, some didn't give as much, but they all gave, and I would like to believe they all gave sacrificially. But it also says they all had joy, they all rejoiced, because they gave to the part of God's work. Now, it's not too difficult. It's not really hard at all to determine where we're laying up treasures. Do you remember the first part of the message? We're all treasure hunting. You're treasure hunting. I'm treasure hunting. It's not too hard to determine where we're laying up our treasures today. All of us. And here's how to do it. If you own your possessions, or if your possessions own you, ask yourself some questions. Ladies, we'll start with you. In your closet, do you have an outfit and matching shoes for every day for the next 2 months? Do you have enough jewelry to open up a jewelry store? Men, could you have a yard sale and compete with Pro Bass Shop? Do you have credit card debt you're trying to pay off with all your might that keeps you from tithing? Whoops. Maybe I've just crossed that line from preaching to meddling. The truth is, where we lay up our money is where it's where our treasure is. Is it things of this earth, or is it things for the kingdom? Now, may I just say this? Don't miss this. If you decide today to lay up treasures in heaven, I promise you, you will never lack for a thing at all in this world. And God will bless your soul more than you ever dreamed. In fact, He says that in verse 33. This is the last point of the message. The consolation of those who will take God in His Word and do it. Look what He says in verse 33, the consolation. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. God says, if you'll just trust me, lay up your treasures in heaven, I will add everything you ever want. Now, let me back up. Everything you ever need, and a lot of things you might want. But I promise you, you may think you want it, but if you don't need it, and you don't really, God's going to give you everything you want to. You follow Jesus, your heart will be content. It will be totally content. Now, I need to share this with you. If you'll take up this promise and say, okay, God, I'll take you at your word. I'll lay up treasures in heaven. You know what God's going to do for you? Let me tell you. He will eliminate every worry you have for the future of finances. He will. Now I want you to look very quickly at verse 25. Look what it says. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. See that? Look at verse 31. Therefore do not worry. Look at verse 34. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow. Three times he says, don't worry. And by the way, those words are commands in the Greek language as well. I command you not to worry. So that means if we worry, what are we doing? We're breaking Jesus' command. What does that mean? That means we're sinning. It's a sin to break His commands, is it not? We sin when we worry. We sin. Well, three things we act like when we worry. Let's look at these really quickly. First of all, we're foolish. Verse 32, look at verse 32. What does it say? When we worry, we are acting like the Gentiles. All these things the Gentiles seek. The Gentiles are heathens. The Gentiles don't know God. They don't believe in God. Let me ask you, do you want to act like they do? I don't. We're foolish when we worry. We're also faithless when we worry. Look at verse 32 again. For your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. Listen, God knows we need all those things. And He is our Father. Do we not have enough faith that our perfect, loving Father will provide our needs? We're faithless when we worry. We're foolish when we worry. Let me tell you something else. We're frozen when we worry. Look at verse number 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. You know what Jesus is saying there? He's saying, listen, when you worry, you're taking away energy for the battles you need to be fighting today by worrying about tomorrow. Don't do it. You're frozen. You can't function when you're worrying about tomorrow. I got battles you need to fight today with the strength I'm giving you. Don't worry. It's a sin. Let God take it away by just trusting Him. Well, maybe you have come this morning and during this message, the Holy Spirit has convicted you that you're laying up treasures on the earth.